الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، verily all praise and glory is due to Allah the Most High. It is due to Him and none other. We praise Him, we seek His forgiveness, and we ask Him for His mercy. And we testify and we state with full conviction and firmness that there is no God or deity worthy of any type of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a servant and final messenger. And as to what follows, I remind myself and you by reciting from Surah Ali Imran the order of Allah to you and I individually and collectively, where He says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته. O ye who believe, fear Allah the fear that He is most deserving of you, and do not die unless you are in the state of Islam. ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. مرحبا بإخواني، مرحبا بأخواتي. I greet my brothers and my sisters once again in this blessed Masjid, Masjid Khalid ibn al-Walid in the city of Toronto. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who shall be al-fa'izeen, the successful, with al-jannah on the Day of Judgment. Allahumma ameen. We continue with our third part of our five-part series revolving around ala tariq al-da'wah, on the path of da'wah. And previously we described to you in our first two meetings in Salatul Jumu'ah, we began by discussing taqwa wa ikhlas, fearing and being conscious of Allah and being sincere to Him. And the last khutbah that we were here with you, we discussed with you ilmun wa fahmun wa amal, knowledge and understanding what is meant by the knowledge, and implementing that which you know, acting upon the knowledge that you have acquired, as being tools and skills that the da'iyah, the caller to Allah, possesses and institutes in his days and actions in his life. Today we continue in our third part with the important two characteristics, hikmatun wa tawadu, wisdom and humbleness and humility. My brothers and sisters, these are two eternal characteristics that must be found in the successful caller to Allah. And I wish to clarify a misconception. When I say calling to Allah or making da'wah, do not ever be confused into thinking that I am meaning speaking to non-Muslims or only to non-Muslims. No. A da'wah to Allah is something that the person, the human being, must be performing in any way, shape, or form. Calling all types of people, not just the disbelievers. Many of the Muslim ummah are in greater need of da'wah than the disbelievers. Many of your Muslim brothers and sisters do not know what Islam is except by its name. They do not know what is Salah, why they pray, when they pray, how they pray, for who do they pray, what is the reward of prayer. Something so simple, my brothers and sisters, must be clarified by you as a Muslim who is learning and trying to implement what you learn. So today, after we have described to you knowledge in our previous discussion, al-hikmah, wisdom, is something that must go hand in hand. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this clear, especially in the realm of da'wah, where He says, as is found in Surah An-Nahl, verse number 125, ادْعُ إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. O Muhammad, and therefore all the companions and the followers of Muhammad, for we established last week that the Prophet ﷺ was ordered, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبِعَنِي. Tell them, O Muhammad, this is the path that I was ordered to follow, calling to Allah with basira, with insight and wisdom and knowledge and implementation, I and those who follow me. Therefore, if we are followers of the Prophet, we have also been ordered in this verse in Surah An-Nahl, ادْعُ إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ, call unto the path of your Lord, unto the way of Allah, call to Islam, call to Iman, call to Sunnah, call to what is good, what is righteous, call to abstain from what is evil and bid'ah and innovation. ادْعُ إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Call unto your Lord using these three paths or three ways to get to the heart of those whom you are calling. These are the three things that the person is to stress on and the three tools that he is to use in calling to Allah. Allah first says, ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة. Invite mankind, O Muhammad, to the way of your Lord with wisdom, with divine inspiration, meaning the Qur'an. Using the wisdom that is found in the Qur'an, وَجَادِلْهُمْ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ, and fair preaching, blessed preaching, sermons, advice, insight, admonitions. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ, and finally third, and argue with them in a way that is better. Truly your Lord knows what is best and who has gone astray from His path, and He is also best aware of those who are guided, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore these are the three paths of calling to Allah. Al-Hikmah, which is through wisdom, i.e. the Qur'an. Wal-Maw'izat al-Hasana, fair preaching, sermons, admonition. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ, and arguing with them, in bettering them by giving them the proofs. And it is important for us to pause here, وَهُنَا نُلَاحِظُ, and we notice that Allah جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ قَدْ أَطْلَقَ لَفْظَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَلَمْ يَقْضِيهَا أَوْ لَمْ يَأْمُرْ بِالْحِكْمَةَ بِوَصْفِهَا أَنَّهَا حَسَنَةَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says al-hikmah, He did not say al-hikmah al-hasana, good wisdom. No, He just says wisdom. The reason for this, لِأَنَّ الْحِكْمَةَ كُلَّهَا حَسَنَةَ. Anytime one uses wisdom, it is always bringing about what is good. Yet when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about preaching and talks about arguing, He adds the word وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ, and argue with them with that which is better or best. He also says وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ, and with a better or a good admonition or a good sermon or a good advice. So it is important here to understand that when you are using wisdom, when you have hikmah in the da'wah to Allah, as we will see in the actions of the Prophet ﷺ, you will always be guided and you shall always be upon the true path. So what is a da'wah? Da'wah first, my brothers and sisters,
we look at this verse, اِدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ. Therefore, first, calling to Allah. لَا لِشَخْصِ الدَّاعِيَةِ. Not for the person who is making the call. Because many people have become confused and thought that it is important to know who is speaking before what is being said. And this is one of the grave injustices that many people have fallen into. The first question is asked whenever someone is going to be giving the Jumu'ah, for example, or a class, who is coming to speak? Not being concerned with what has he said in the past? What will he be speaking about? Is he speaking from the Qur'an and the Sunnah? Who is the speaker? What are his credentials? All of these questions, my brothers and sisters, are as important as what is he speaking of. Is it Sunnah? Is it the Qur'an? Is it the words of Allah, his messenger, and the Sahaba, and the A'imma? Or is it from his own opinion? This is the important point. اِدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ. Call to the way of your Lord. Not for a human being, not to a certain organization, not to a certain group, not to a position that an imam wishes to keep, not pleasing people through the displeasure of Allah, but for Allah the Most High. ثانياً الدعوة يجب أن تكون بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة والجدال بالتي هي أحسن. Second, we see that hikmah and good argument and good admonition are the three ways of performing da'wah. And is it as important now for us to understand and focus on our topic, which is ma hi al-hikmah? What is wisdom? For many people, they will use the ayah, وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 269, it is Allah who gives divine wisdom to whom He wishes. And whoever has been given wisdom has been given something great and plentiful and good. Al-Imam ibn al-Qayyim, he tells us, Al-Hikmah hiya fi'lu ma yanbaghi ala al-wajhi alladhi yanbaghi في الوقت الذي ينبغي. حكمة, true wisdom, is to do an action at the proper time, in the proper way, for the proper reason. It is to do an action. فعل ما ينبغي, to do something. على الوجه الذي ينبغي, for the right reason. في الوقت الذي ينبغي, at the right precise moment, not too soon, not too late, focusing on what is a priority and leaving what is not a priority for a later time. Also, some of the other scholars other than Shaykh al-Islam ibn Qayyim have said, الحكمه هي الاصابه في الاقوال والافعال. It is to be precise in your word and in your action. وَوَضْعِ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ فِي مَوْضِعِكَ. And to place everything in its proper spot. To put everything in its right place. To give everyone his right due. To put the person at his right station. وَلِلْحِكْمَةِ ثَلَاثَةِ أَرْكَانِ. Hikmah is built on three foundations and three principles. العلم, knowledge. الحلم, mercy. وَالصَّبْرِ, patience. Three integral ingredients that must be instituted. Knowledge, being merciful in dispensing your knowledge, and being patient. Things do not change overnight, my brothers and sisters. The da'wah of the Prophet ﷺ lasted for many years. 13 in Mecca and 10 in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. And having gone through many wars and many civil strife, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and saw a great deal of hardship at the hands of the disbelievers. And therefore we see the opposite of knowledge, mercy, and patience is al-jahl, ignorance, wa-tishi wal-ajala, ignorance, hurriedness, not being patient, and not being merciful to others. These three things cannot be found in a successful caller to Allah. And these three things are important for us to understand and realize. And therefore the Prophet ﷺ taught his Sahaba to speak to people at their own level and in their own understanding. Let us look at these three quotes that I have prepared for you. As is narrated by the Imam Ali radiallahu anhu, as is found in Sahih al-Bukhari in the chapter of Al-Ilm, he says, حَدِّثُ النَّاسَ بِمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَتُحِبُّونَ أَن يُكَذَّبَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Ali radiallahu anhu told the people, speak to people, invite them to Allah when you are speaking with them in a way that they would understand something that they comprehend. Do you wish for them to disbelieve in Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When you describe something to them that they do not have the iman to understand yet, it may drive them away. Also look at that similar statement as is narrated in Sahih Muslim from the statement of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, where he said, as is found in Sahih Muslim in the Muqaddimah, the introduction, he said, مَا أَنْتَ مُحَدِّثٍ قَوْمًا حَدِيثًا إِلَّا تَبْلُغُهُ عُقُولُهُمْ إِلَّا كَانَ لِبَعْضِهِمْ فِتْنَةً. Never will you sit and speak with the people about something that their intellect cannot grasp except that some of them will be placed in fitna as a result of your words. Listen to the statement of Aisha radiallahu anha, also in the Muqaddimah of Imam Muslim Sahih, where she says, أَمَرَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَن نُنْزِلَ النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ. The Prophet ﷺ ordered us to put people in their proper categories and stations. Speak to the one with knowledge, with a knowledge-based attitude. And speak to the one who is weak in knowledge in an easy manner, something that he can grasp and memorize and understand. And this was the action of the Sahaba. We all know the famous hadith where the A'rabi, the Bedouin, came to the Prophet ﷺ and told him, O Messenger of Allah, I do not know many of the principles of Al-Islam. I wish for you to tell me one thing that I may do that if I stick to it, I shall be from the Jannah. This was the question that concerned the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. Also from the characteristics of a da'iyah, when he possesses knowledge, he knows when to switch from being lenient to being harsh. And this was something the Prophet ﷺ instituted in his sunnah. For example, we know the hadith of Usama ibn Zayd, where he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he asked the Prophet not to cut the hand of a woman who had stolen, because she was from a high tribe. So the Prophet ﷺ said, أَتَشْفَعُ فِي حَدٍ مِّنْ حُدُودِ اللَّهِ يَا أُسَامَةَ. Usama, are you trying to intercede in something that Allah has established as a law? Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قام فخطبنا قام خطيبا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa stood and began to deliver a lecture and an admonition. فقال أما بعد, after praising Allah in the praise that he deserved, he says, and as to what follows, أيها الناس إنما أهلك الذين من قبلكم أنهم كانوا إذا سرق فيهم الشريف تركوه وإذا سرق فيهم الضعيف أقاموا عليه الحد وإني والذي نفسي بيده لو أن فاطمة بنت محمد سرقت لقطعت يدها صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. He says, O people, surely what brought strife and caused the people from before you to be led astray was that when one of their honored people stole, they would not establish the laws of Allah upon him. Yet when one of the lower castes or classes of people, the poor people, stole, they would establish the law, cut the hand. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, by he who holds my soul in his hand, meaning Allah, that if my daughter Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, stole, I would cut her hand. والحديث في صحيح البخاري في كتاب الحدود. Also, we see this is a time where the Prophet ﷺ showed that there was a moment where he had to fulfill a law of Allah. Yet another time we see the merciful side of the Prophet ﷺ, as is narrated in the books of Imam al-Bukhari, Abi Dawood, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, from many different narrations from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu arba'ah, where he says that the Prophet ﷺ sitting with his Sahaba in the masjid, an A'rabi, a Bedouin, came and began to urinate in the masjid. فَقَامَ النَّاسِ. The people began to grab at him and were going to punish him. They were going to beat him. فَقَالَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ صلى الله عليه وسلم دَعُوهُ. The Prophet ﷺ said, leave him. Let him finish his business. وَأَهْرِقُ عَلَى بَوْلِهِ سَجِلًا مِنَ الْمَاءِ. But poured a tumbler of water over where he had urinated, showing the mercifulness of the Prophet. Then the Prophet ﷺ took him to the side. فَقَالَ لَهُ الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ إِنَّمَا بُنِيَ هَذَا الْبَيْتُ لِذِكْرُ اللَّهِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Surely this place has been built for the sole purposes and for the reasons of the remembrance of Allah and for establishment of prayer. وَإِنَّهُ لَا يُبَالُ فِيهِ ثُمَّ دَعَى بِسِجِلًّا مِنَ الْمَاءِ فَأَغْرَقَ فَأَفْرَغَهُ عَلَيْهِ عَلَى الْمَكَانِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The Prophet ﷺ told him, surely this is a place that is of worship. It is not a place where a person is permitted to urinate in. So do not return to this. يَقُولُ الْأَعْرَابِي بَعْدَ أَنْ فَقِهِ إِنَّهُ بِأَبِي وَأُمِّي قام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال العربي بعربي بأبي هو وأمي فلم يسبني ولم يضربني. The Prophet ﷺ never swore at me, never cursed me, never struck me for having done this grievous act after he became knowledgeable that this was something that should not be done. Another example that I put before you is the example of the young man, as is narrated in the hadith of Imam Ahmad, and the hadith in it, Al-Hafiz Al-Iraqi, he says, Al-Hadith sanaduhu jayyid wa rijaluhu rijal al-sahih. The men in the narration are the people of knowledge and are the people of authenticity. A man came to the Prophet, a young man came to the Prophet ﷺ, and he told him, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, allow me to commit zina, allow me to fornicate, allow me to commit adultery. So the Prophet ﷺ told him to come near after he noticed the Sahaba were about to fall on him, were about to hurt him. He brought him near and he moved with him to a far part in the masjid. فَقَالَ أَتُحِبُّهُ لِأُمِّكْ. Would you wish someone does this with your mother? فَقَالَ لَا وَاللَّهِ جَعَلَنِي اللَّهُ فِدَاءَكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. No, by Allah, may I be sacrificed instead of you, O Messenger of Allah. Then the Prophet ﷺ told him, وَلَا النَّاسُ يُحِبُّونَهُ لِأُمَّهَاتِهِمْ. Neither do other people wish this to happen with their mothers. أَتُحِبُّهُ لِبْنَتِكْ. Would you wish someone does something like this to their daughter? He told him, no, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet told him, well, neither would anyone wish this for his own daughter. He told him, أَتُحِبُّهُ لِخَالَتِكْ لِأُخْتِكْ. Would you wish someone does this to your sister? He said, no. The Prophet told him, neither would anyone wish this for their sister. Would you wish this for your aunt? No. لِعَمَّتِكْ لِخَالَتِكْ. No. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, فَكَيْفَ تُحِبُّهُ لِنَفْسِكْ. How can you love if you do not love it for all of these? How can you then love it for yourself or other people? And then the Prophet placed his hand upon the chest of this young man and he said, اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ ذَنْبَهُ وَظَهِّرْ قَلْبَهُ وَحْسِنْ فَرْجَهُ. Oh Allah, forgive his sin and cleanse his heart and protect and guard his modesty. It shows you the two different approaches that the Prophet ﷺ took in establishing wisdom. So let us understand these words in understanding an ayah in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. And surely as a mercy from Allah, you were lenient and merciful to them. ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك. And surely, O Muhammad, if you were harsh and hard and had a hard heart, they would disperse from around you. فاعف عنهم واستغفر لهم وشاورهم في الأمر. Forgive their mistakes and shortcomings and ask Allah for their mercy, to be merciful to them and forgive them. وشاورهم في الأمر, and take their opinions if you wish. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. But when you intend to do something, then place your trust solely in Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Surely Allah loves those who place their trust in Him. Equally, in being wise, one must also be humble. Not to think that because he has knowledge and has wisdom, that this places him above the rest. وَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Do not praise yourselves, it is surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who knows those who are truly fearing Him. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّكَ لَن تَقْرِقَ الْأَرْضَ وَلَن تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. In Surah Al-Isra, verse number 27, Allah says, and do not walk upon the face of the earth in pride, without humbleness. For surely you will not be able to break through the earth, and you will not be able to reach the highest mountains in stature. You will never have this fame, you will never have this type of status. Allah also says, وَلَا تُصَعَرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسَ. In Surah Luqman, do not turn your face away from mankind. وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Do not walk upon the face of the earth with arrogance. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَانٍ فَخُورٍ. Surely Allah does not love every boasting, arrogant person. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْتَكْبِرِينَ. As is in Surah Al-Nahl, surely Allah does not love those who are arrogant. And you must know that arrogance is the first sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, was disobeyed with. Allah tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 34, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ. And when we told the angels, prostrate to Adam, فَسَجَدُوا. All of them obeyed, prostrated. إِلَّا إِبْلِيس. Except Iblis, the devil. أَبَى. He refused. وَاسْتَكْبَرْ. The reason? Because he became arrogant. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And therefore he was deemed to be from the disbelievers. And therefore the Prophet ﷺ was the king of tawadu, the master of tawadu, the teacher of humbleness and humility, the one who showed mankind how to be humble in being in your relationship with Allah. Allah says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. Surely a messenger from your Lord has come to you, who has come to you from your own selves, from your own people, from your own tribes. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. He feels difficulty and grieves when you are in a state of injury or difficulty. حَرِيثٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. He is anxious over you, he is merciful to the believers. He is full of pity, kind and merciful to the believers. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he says, as narrated by Imam Ahmad and Imam al-Tirmidhi, ما كان شخصا أحب إليه من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وكانوا إذا رأوه لم يقوموا له لما يعلمون ما كان يكره ذلك. The Prophet was the most beloved to the Sahaba, as Anas says, yet whenever he entered a room or a place, no one would dare stand up as a way of honoring him. They would remain seated, knowing how much he hated this action to be done. Also we see, the Prophet ﷺ says, as is narrated by Imam al-Tirmidhi in the Hadith of Hasan, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِمَا يَحْرُمُ عَلَى النَّارِ. Should I not tell you of the one who the fire is prohibited from touching? تحرم على كل هين لين سهل. The fire is prohibited from touching every easy going. على كل هين لين وسهل. Everyone who is easy, merciful, and kind. The one who takes pity upon people. who is not arrogant, who is layin, easy in dealing with them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. Never shall anyone enter paradise when in his heart is half of an atom's weight of arrogance. They told him, Ya Rasulullah, إن الرجل يحب أن يكون ثوبه حسنا ونعاله حسنة. Surely, O Prophet of Allah, a person likes to dress nice and have nice shoes. The Prophet answered, إن الله جميل يحب الجمال. Surely Allah is beauty, is full of beauty, and He loves beauty. Al-kibr, arrogance, batar al-haq wa ghamt al-nas. Arrogance is refusing truth and looking down upon people. Al-Imam al-Nawawi, in his sharh, explanation of Sahih Muslim, he says, the people will not enter paradise, meaning, أي لا يدخلها مع المتقين أولا, meaning that they shall not be from the first of people to enter paradise, حتى ينظر الله إليه فإما أن يعذبه وإما أن يعفو عنه. He will be judged and Allah will then see whether He will forgive him or punish him and then admit him to paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the people of paradise. Allahumma ameen. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, wisdom and humbleness are important tools. For when you are humble, people will be more accepting of what you are saying, knowing that you are not waiting for anything in return. You are doing it just for Allah. And being wise, saying what needs to be said at the proper time, not increasing or decreasing in your words. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who are from the people of Al-Jannah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. After جلسة الاستراحة, I will be discussing with you a few things in regards to the days of Eid. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم.